If Congress can't put together a spending plan for the Homeland Security Department by the end of business February 27th, DHS Secretary Jay Johnson says he may have to furlough 30,000 employees. You can hear all the details of a worst-case scenario in my conversation tomorrow with DHS Chief Financial Officer Chip Fulgham. You can hear that starting about 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon on Federal News Radio. David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call and keeping an eye on the budget progress for DHS on Capitol Hill. That is, David, I guess, assuming that there is some budget progress on the Hill. What's the latest, at least, for funding the Homeland Security Department? Thanks for coming on.
The latest is, if it's happening at all, it is happening in ways that I can't see, and neither can any of my reporters. So, which is to say, there is not much latest. The House is not around today. The next move, I think, is really up to the House. Just to set the stage here for a second, to remind people, Mitch McConnell has now had the Senate vote, what I think it was three times, on whether to even begin debate on the House-passed DHS funding bill that included the immigration language that the president threatened to veto. Three times he ran into a brick wall erected by the Democrats. One obvious answer to the question, why did he do it not once, not twice, but three times, was just to make darn sure the House Republicans see that there's no way that bill can advance, so that they will hopefully have a change of heart to the more practical and will agree to do something different. Now, what that something different is the $6.4 billion question, and we don't know yet.
It would be fair to assume at this point in time, given that the Senate voted three times, as you said, that if there is a shutdown at the Homeland Security Department, it really is up to House Republicans. It really is on their backs if that happens. I mean, I don't see any other way that you could parse it from a political perspective, especially after they have said any number of times, there won't be a shutdown, there won't be a shutdown, there won't be a shutdown, there won't be a shutdown.
I think you're almost certainly right. I mean, the Republicans will say it was the Democrats who refused en masse to even debate this thing.
Well, they can say that, but nobody believes it except
them.
Yeah,
I think that's right. You know, I mean, I think you're right. The Republicans, you know, once you have a reputation in, you know, whether it's in high school or in, you know, or in politics, it's hard to get rid of it. And now it's the Republicans that have the reputation as the party that favors the shutdown. And it's going to be very difficult for them to shake that reputation. I think that what this is all about, and I think I've said this a couple of times we've talked about this, is John Boehner knows that he's got a, you know, John Boehner knows that in the end, they're going to have to capitulate on this. And in order to avoid being blamed for a shutdown, they're going to have to create some sort of straightforward funding mechanism for DHS without any immigration language. And he is, I think, probably wanting to wait till closer to the last minute. Now, the last minute is getting pretty close because I'd sort of hadn't thought about this myself till I looked at my calendar. Congress is not around next week.
Yeah, they're out the whole week right. For President's Day.
For President's Day.
So George Washington's birthday.
I think we call it President's Day now.
Who knows?
Congress. We got this week, and then we got President's Day with a recess, which means they return after this week on the 23rd, and the funding authorization runs out on the 27th. So maybe this is an orchestrated game of chicken so that the leadership can say to the Republican conservatives, sorry, we're out of time. We're not going to get burdened with a shutdown. You know, we need to come up with 218 votes to pass this clean bill. Maybe that's the answer. Or maybe it's a fallback answer, which is we don't have time for this immigration thing. Let's do another. There's talk of just doing another CR for maybe another month to buy themselves a little bit more time. The leadership said they don't want to do that, but that's now being floated. A CR for the rest of the year is also being discussed, you know, sort of as just one of the options. I wouldn't say that any of these has yet taken hold, but people are just sort of saying, what are the available plans B, C, and D?
My understanding is that the Homeland Security Department right now is planning for all of them, all of the above. They're planning for the possibility of a CR for the rest of the year. They're planning for the short-term CR possibility that you mentioned. They're planning for the possibility of an appropriated bill for the rest of the year. And they're planning for a shutdown. And you can learn all the details of how they're planning for those with Chip Fulgham, the chief financial officer at DHS, at about 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon on this program. The idea that they're doing all of that planning, though, cost the agency money, and a lot of it's opportunity cost. And it strikes me that this might be a master plan on the part of the Republicans in the House, but it doesn't fit with the narrative that we got after the elections that we're going to be the party that governs. This is not governing, I don't think.
It doesn't seem like governing yet. So you're allowed to say that probably more than I can.
Sure,
there.
I understand that. No, but
the closer we get, the more you're right. And you know, sometimes this is, the old cliches about Congress being like, you know, high school, elementary school, raising children, you name it. Sometimes the adults in the room, you know, need to just sort of let things work themselves out until the last possible minute and then try and impose a solution.
Well, and I think your observation a moment ago, the more I think about it, it sounds like it makes the most sense of all the things that I've heard on this, David, and that is now Speaker Boehner can go back to the people that he's had problems with and say, listen, you're going to have to eat this and like it, and unless you want to be the guy that goes and explains why the Homeland Security Department shut down. How many Republicans are there in the House now after the election? 243 or something?
245.
Right. You divide that by two, that's 120. So if all he needs is 123 Republicans in the House to satisfy himself on the Boehner rule or the Hastert rule or whatever we're calling it this week.
That's right.
That's got to be a no-brainer to be able to get that many on a clean bill. All he's got to do is bring it up when they come back.
I think you're right. I mean, I think you're right. Assuming that he can count on the vast majority of the Democrats voting for it, and now if there's no immigration language in there, you got to assume that most Democrats will vote for it because this was a negotiated bill that had some Democratic authorship. It's a truly bipartisan appropriations bill, right? That's fair to say.
You're correct on that, and he doesn't even really need a lot of Democrats. He's 95 Democrats if he only gets 123 of his own, and that's assuming he only gets the bare majority of the majority.
I think that's right.
I guess what I'm doing is I'm convincing myself that this might not turn out to be the big disaster that it could appear to be to some folks right now.
I think that's right, and I think that, unfortunately, the easiest way to get there for the leadership is for them to hold fast and through this recess, and then when they come back from the recess, say, you know, now's the time to, as you say, swallow it and learn to like it.
David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call and looking at what is going on, not just with the DHS bill, but also in the House Veterans Affairs Committee. They have a busy docket, 4 hearings this week. They're trying to smash in a lot of work before the break, I suppose.
Yes, right.
Congressman Miller, the chairman of that committee, hasn't given any indication at all that he is going to let up on the Department of Veterans Affairs. In fact, it looks like he's just going to put the hammer down.
I think that's right. I think Miller, Miller has exceeded many expectations with his chairmanship of this. I mean, I think many people did not expect that he and Bernie Sanders would end up cutting one of the more important bipartisan deals of the last year. And Miller seems to have, as you say, sort of set his mind to making something of this chairmanship and being very stick-to-itive. And bringing the hammer down, as you so rightly said.
He's getting reviews, at least in the VA community, as being very outspoken. He's a little bit partisan, but he is willing to listen. He's especially taking into account the views of the veterans groups, the advocacy groups. What is the perception of him on the Hill as the chairman of a committee?
Well, as I say, he has done more than was expected. That when he took the chairmanship of this, he was not. I mean, to be honest, the Veterans Affairs Committee is not a sought-after committee. It's definitely, a second-tier committee, and in many people's views, a third-tier committee, where not a whole lot of legislative heavyweights go to make their mark. Miller rose up to this just by virtue of the fact that not a whole lot of other people who were on the committee got off for better assignments, and he was able to rise to the top relatively quickly. People didn't put much store in his acumen, but his reputation grew considerably last summer when he cut the deal on the healthcare.
And I guess it his timing was fortuitous too, because all of those sentiments are correct and have been for a long time. But those sentiments were the sentiments that people held before the whole scandal happened at the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Exactly.
That elevated the agency in the minds of just about every American that's paying attention to this stuff.
That's exactly right. So now, you know, people are paying attention, right? Veterans are paying attention. I think the public is paying more in the wake of this healthcare scandal and the subsequent bill. I think people are keeping a closer eye on the VA and on how Congress is managing the Department of Veterans Affairs than they have in some time.
All right. What about fiscal 16 appropriations? We've talked about that. I'm almost sick of talking about it. We haven't even accomplished a whole lot yet, David.
I don't think we've accomplished anything. other than they received the budget a week ago, they're having some hearings. They are once again talking about regular order, but not really anticipating any kind of return to true regularity. The appropriators will have to do nothing but hearings until the middle of May. That's the way it works. They have to wait for the budget. The budget committee to have a chance to write a budget that gives them the top line in spending. That's where the big argument will be happening over sequestration, and then they can get started. They also have to fill, sadly, one seat on the House Appropriations Committee. Mr. Nunnally, Republican of Mississippi, an appropriator, died at the end of last week. He'd had a series of health problems culminating in a brain tumor, and so he passed away on Friday, and so the Republicans have to fill his seat.